God's peace is always yours in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hear the word of God from Matthew 14. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus said, "Take heart. Do not be afraid. It is I." Dear friends in Christ, fear is the undertow in today's gospel. Fear threatens to swallow up Peter and the disciples in their little boat. Fear paralyzes us, wears us down, erodes our faith, generates doubt. But to the disciples' fears and to ours, Jesus speaks his fearless words. "Take heart, do not be afraid, it is I." To appreciate this miracle, you need to know a little bit about the deep. In Genesis 1, when the earth was being created, darkness covered the deep, chaotic, swirling waters. The Spirit, the breath of God, blew over the face of the deep. Now, fast forward to Jesus. Jesus is walking on the water, that is the deep, in the darkness at 3 a.m, with the wind blowing over the waters. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1 is happening all over again. The Word, the water, the Spirit, God's new creation is breaking in with Jesus. The deep also represented death and the grave. The deep waters represented the underworld that swallowed you up like Jonah tossed into the drink. Sailors and fishermen feared the deep as they feared death. The deep was filled with fearsome sea monsters. Leviathan, Behemoth, Rahab, monsters who would swallow you up and never spit you out, all pictures of the devil. But in steps Jesus, walking on the water. Jesus is walking on the backs of Leviathan, Behemoth, Rahab, that is, the devil, as if they and he were playthings. All the things that represent fear, death, and the grave have met their maker, and they've met their match in Jesus Christ. They can harm us none. One little word can fell them. That word is Jesus. But the disciples don't realize that yet. The disciples were terrified, as we all are whenever our safety is threatened. We see that with the coronavirus and with the rioting in our streets. We've all learned the hard way that life can go from calm to chaos in a matter of moments. No matter how hard you try, life tears you down, and you realize that you can't make it on your own, and that's scary. Our text says, when evening came, the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, being buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And the sight of a Jesus walking on the water doesn't exactly bring the disciples comfort. Now the disciples think they're seeing a ghost. And the vision of a ghost rarely brings comfort, only more fear. But do you remember on Easter evening when they saw the risen Christ enter the upper room and they said, "It's a ghost"? Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." The greatest storm that night was not in the sky or on the waves. It was in the disciples' hearts. So what is it that calms the disciples' fears and our fears? It's Jesus' words. "Take heart. Do not be afraid. It is I." Jesus speaks calm to their fears, just as his words and the sight of his wounds calm their fears on Easter evening. Just as his words His forgiving death and resurrection comfort our fears. This was no ghost, no boogie monster, no phantom. It was flesh and blood Jesus walking on the water. Do you realize how amazing this is? The waters represent the great deep, death, the grave, hell, the abode of the devil. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. What's the point? Jesus is dancing all over death, the grave, and the devil. One thing I like about Peter is that he usually says what everyone else is thinking. He's seen the miracles already. Lepers cleansed, demons cast out, diseases healed instantly. But walking on water, this defies common sense. So Peter cries out, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the waves. Jesus said, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Now, don't try this at your swimming pool or in the ocean. This is not one of those what would Jesus do moments. This word was for Peter alone, not even for the other 11. They stayed high and dry in the boat. But how can Peter walk on water? How can he do such great things? Well, remember the catechism. It is not Peter or the water alone that does such great things, but it is the word of God spoken across the water from Jesus to Peter, and faith that clings to the word of God spoken across the water come that does such great things. By the word of Jesus, Peter shares in the miracle and dances on the deep. Do you get it? In Christ, Peter is now dancing all over death, the grave, and the devil. And in Christ, you and I are dancing all over death, the grave, and the devil. Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. So what's our problem? Just like Peter, we take our eyes off of the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Our text says, when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Peter does fine so long as he fixes his eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith, and keeps his word stuck in his ears. But you know how it goes. We all have spiritual ADD, attention deficit disorder. You start looking around, start checking things out on your own. You begin to notice the riots and the COVID-19. You notice the wind and the white caps. And you try to steer the vessel of your life by yourself to go where you want to go and do what you want to do. And when we do that, Jesus isn't at the center anymore, but you are. And you are not a savior. But this is what the devil wants. The devil, the world, and our flesh with you in the middle. There's just one problem. When you're facing the great deep or the storms of death, the grave, and the devil, you can't save you. And you can't save anyone eternally and spiritually. When Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus, what does he say? Hey, wait a minute. Men can't walk on water. And he starts to drop down into the deep like a rock. Notice that when Peter was looking to Jesus, he was walking on the water just fine, dancing over death, the grave, and the devil. But as soon as he takes his eyes off of Jesus the Savior, all hell breaks loose. Because the great deep and the chaotic waters of death and the law of hell and judgment will swallow us up without Jesus. Without Jesus, the storms of life are terrifying. What Peter needed at that moment was a way out of his storm, and Jesus will not disappoint. Peter saw what we all need to see in the storms of life, that Jesus is our only way out. Peter was aware of two facts at that moment. Number one, I'm going down. And number two, Jesus is staying up. So he knows where he'd rather be. He'd rather swallow his pride than swallow seawater. So he cries out, Lord, save me. Now freeze frame that scene in your mind. Peter is about to go under. His eyes are as wide as saucers. He catches one last breath before the waves swallow him, and he cries out, "Lord, save me!" Now that you've got that picture of sinking Peter in your mind, you know who that is. That's you in your dying flesh. That's you being pulled under by the riptide of sin and the law. That's you if you lose Christ or blow him off. And you begin to lose Christ when you lose sight of Christ in your life, lose sight of his word, lose sight of your baptism into Christ. You start living against your baptismal relationship with Christ. That's you taking your eyes off of God's word and cutting yourself off from the Lord's Supper. All on your own, without Jesus, you and I are sinking down to death because we are not a savior. But immediately a firm hand reaches out, catches you, and holds you so tight it almost hurts. But you can tell that the one who caught you is not letting go, ever letting go. It's a familiar hand, a hand that reached out and caught the whole world on a cross in the darkness of that one Good Friday. The same hand that plucked Peter out of the deep has plucked you out of the great deep of death and hell by his pierced hands and by his resurrection. As soon as Peter is safe, Jesus says to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me?" Do you think Jesus will fail you in your hour of need? Do you think that he who died for you and who went down to the depths of hell to save you will abandon you who he has saved? Do you think he who immediately grabbed Peter, who was one of little faith, will turn a deaf ear to your cry for mercy? Never. He says to you, "Take heart, do not be afraid, it is I." This Jesus is with you all the days of your life until the end of your days. The hand that snatches you from the jaws of death will not let you go. We do not need to fear anything in this world, for nothing can break Jesus' hold on you and me. Not the cancers, not the riots, not the bullets, not COVID-19, not terrorists, not the government, not the devil, not even our own sin. When doubt overtakes you and sin overwhelms you and waves of guilt start washing over you and threaten to drown you, then say with Peter, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Notice in Jesus' rescue, reversals are happening. Things go from chaos to calm, from panic to peace, from ghost to savior, from unbelief to faith, from sinner to forgiven child, from helpless to rescued, from death to life. Before the storm hits in our lives, it's easy to keep Jesus at a distance. So why does Jesus allow storms in your life and mine? Because a storm is a small price to pay for a clear view of your Savior, as Max Licato says. When Jesus and Peter climbed back into the boat to join the others, the wind died down, the storm stopped, and there was peace with Jesus in that little boat. Peter didn't admire his hand and say, "Boy, I sure had a good grip on you, Lord, didn't I?" And he didn't boast about his little walk on the water. He and the rest of the disciples did the only thing that's left to do when Jesus has done everything necessary to save us. They worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." That too is a picture of you and me this morning, yanked from the deep by the strong hand of Jesus in our baptism, united with Christ by water and the Spirit, huddled together in a little congregation on a high and stormy sea of a shifting culture and a broken world. And you know what? We couldn't be any safer because Jesus is with us. Welcome aboard. Amen.